You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Tinder and Spotify are two popular apps that rely on highly precise AI algorithms to recommend matches and music based on their users' preferences. But exactly how do these algorithms work and how are they using our data in the process? NZ legal and music experts combined through several several versions of these apps' privacy policies and terms of use to see if they provided any detail, but found that the wording was ambiguous and opaque. However, they found possible legal and ethical issues within the privacy policies, including that Spotify's commercial agreements may affect which music it recommends to listeners. I spoke to Fabio Morale from the School of Music at the University of Auckland on the matter.
Well, that's a great question. Actually, it's my research question. I want to know how this algorithm works, not just me, but that's because there's no transparency around that. There's no these companies, not just Tinder and Spotify, but pretty much all companies that involve some sort of algorithmic recommendation systems like Netflix, YouTube, Google, Amazon, etc., everything, Facebook, they have some sort of underlying algorithm that is not accessible, that is not, you know, their systems are not open source, and they don't allow researchers to kind of scrutinize what's going on. So my question is, how does it work? How do they recommend, in the case of Spotify, for instance, songs, a song rather than another? What sort of data do they get from me to say that they are going to personalize my experience? And so that's actually the underlying question for all these research projects, trying to have more of an understanding of how these algorithms work, because they're not transparent, they're not obvious. So that's pretty much a big part of my research and others' research is about trying to find methods to circumvent this secrecy of the companies that don't want to kind of share how these algorithms work. And it's about finding out some creative research methodologies around this central objective of understanding how algorithmic recommendation works.
Yeah, and now this is the same case with Tinder as well, right? You tried using the same formula or the same question with the algorithm that Tinder uses?
Exactly. Yeah. Tinder. Maybe we are it's a little bit less intuitive to think that Tinder involves some sort of recommendation systems, but it do. So there is a sort of underlying algorithm that decides what person you're going to be shown next when you, you know, swipe through the list of Tinder users. So it's not a random, they're not randomly showing people, but there are some rationale behind it. In the CEO of Tinder, in our article, we have this reference. I think he said that it was one of the most complex things to create this algorithm. There's a recommendation algorithm that matches or try to show you who you should be interested in up to them. So, I mean, considering their, what they think is the best match for you, or at least that's what they want you to think. Maybe there are other reasons for making this matching. So Tinder is pretty much, honestly, is most of these platforms that we use in our daily life. Uber as well, Airbnb, these are all having some sort of underlying recommendation algorithm that, you know, they sell it from a, let's say, marketing point of view as, yeah, we're going to personalize your experience. Give us all the data we ask you to, and we're going to make the experience of using our app or our interface better for you. So this is under this kind of, you know, perspective of recommendation, of personalization. They're trying to, yeah, get as much data as possible.
Yeah, now you found that there were some possible legal, privacy and ethical issues surrounding this algorithm, right?
Yeah, so the idea was to, okay, you guys are not sharing what the functionalities of the algorithms are. Let's try to, again, find ways of getting this information. And we thought, well, they're legally obliged to share, to have these legal documents in which they underline exactly what sort of data they use and how they use it. At least that was the intuition behind this research. So let's try to explore the legal documents of these companies. And we started with the case studies of Tinder and Spotify because they are kind of underexplored with respect to others like Facebook and Twitter and Google, et cetera. I said, let's have a look at these. Let's have a look at how these legal documents evolved through time. So we found that publicly accessible documents, five iterations of the privacy policy and the terms of use of these two important legal documents of Spotify and Tinder, and see how the wording changed and if we could somehow infer some use of the data for informing the algorithmic recommendation. So they are not going to explicitly state, and that's something that we were already aware of, we are using your, for instance, I don't know, like your gender to inform the recommendation, because that's, you know, also, I don't know if you ever try to read some sort of, some of these legal documents, but it's, the jargon they use is very inaccessible. So in my case, I'm not a lawyer, but the other two co-authors of my, of this article are both lawyers. So they kind of, they were, they could navigate this and the language easily, well, easily, you know, well, and, but yes, and one of the things, one of the comments that we make is that actually, if these documents are there to outline somehow, basically, what are the terms and conditions of a user using a service? Well, that's actually it's not working well in the sense that normal users don't have really access to the information. But yeah, so we found some information. So going to our questions, basically our original question was, can we use these legal documents? Are they useful? Is that a useful investigation to understand how successive iterations of these legal documents discuss what user data are exploited, used, to understand better how this algorithmic recommendation work? And the answer, the short answer is basically no, because there is not enough detail about how they use, what are they use and how they use it to inform their algorithmic recommendation. So that's kind of a little bit of unsuccess, but at the same time, it's also a kind of a warning to say, even in the legal document where they should be as transparent as possible, these companies, especially these two ones that we investigated, are not sharing information about the algorithmic recommendations. Hmm. And so what we can do is to integrate this information with other information is available. For instance, Tinder doesn't do it as much, but Spotify has hundreds and hundreds of patents. So there are, again, of course, it's publicly available. And so an analysis of the Spotify's patents integrated with analysis of this legal document can actually give rise to, you know, interesting findings. For instance, a patent that they released last year, a couple of years ago, again from Spotify, was about using your microphone, the microphone of your mobile device, to understand, to extract information about your voice, what you're saying, what's the background in your environment. So again, they kind of, this sort of typical surveillance device.
Sorry, I did have to cut that interview off early. Thank you to Fabio Morale from the School of Music at the University of Auckland for speaking to me on the matter. He was talking about the privacy and ethical issues surrounding Spotify's AI algorithm.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.